Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Woo! Happy officially Christmas season.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Happy, happy time here on Church Drunk.
Everything's great. It has been.
Isn't it, though? So, a couple things you should know if you are a first-time listener. You're in for a bit of a wild ride here on Church Drunk. We are sometimes a bit cursy here on the program.
You've been warned.
The program.
Sounds very official. Welcome to our Christmas program.
And we also tend to be a bit heretical, blasphemous.
Mm-hmm. Mostly not on purpose.
Yeah, mostly kind of sort of not on purpose sometimes.
But we're sorting it out. We're doing our best.
But if any of that would be offensive to you, you may want to look elsewhere for less offensive programs.
That was a nice way we could tell you to float away. Fuck off. We'll do our best.
As usual, we will announce that we are Catholic. You don't have to be. We're excited that you're here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be having some fun today with our post-Christmas, post-New Year's episode.
Yes.
We took like a little bit longer break than usual. Gave ourselves a couple extra days off.
We were enjoying the Christmas season.
Yeah.
And we hope everyone is.
As Bob Cratchit would say, we were making rather merry.
Merry on our program as well today.
Making rather merry. So I am guest here with my co-host Dizzy. And Diz, what are you drinking today?
I am sipping a very seasonal brew titled 11 Pipers Piping.
11 Pipers Piping.
And I forget, do you recall where this
brewery? It's from The Brewery.
Oh, The Brewery is B-R-U.
B-R-U-E, and it's a lovely Scotch Ale. It's a good one.
It's delicious. Yeah. It's smooth and dark. We're still in the dark time of the year,
but also
it's a festive drink. It's
exactly.
Got flavor.
Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of Christmas spice
added to
the Scotch Ale to make it a little bit more Christmassy.
Yeah.
The Piper's Piping on account of the Scotsman-ness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a tasty brew.
Yeah, we took a little diversion away from drinking with St. Nick.
Yeah.
We were a little let down last time. We're going to come back to it. We're going to give it another chance.
Exactly.
Just not today. Yes. What about you?
More of the same. So I've got the Scotch Ale and because it came in a big bottle. And nothing says Christmas time cheer better than a nice big bottle.
Shared between friends. Cheers. We hope you have a little sip of something. It's always a good idea when listening to Church Drunk to drink along with us.
Yes.
And I would recommend it today.
Makes us
I will be emptying my pint glass before the end.
Yeah.
You'll understand why when we get there.
There's a special little gift in store that's Diz's favorite thing at the end of our little episode today. But we start with our Catholic New Year's resolution.
Yes.
So a lot of people have made resolutions over the last couple days, say in 2019. This is what they're going to be doing.
Right.
Baby Gas told me that his plan is to grow some teeth, eat a bunch of new foods, learn how to walk, learn how to talk, sleep through the night.
Wow, that is a long list.
He's got a long list for the new year.
Today he told me one of his goals is to just bang on shit with other shit.
Yeah.
And he's already well on his way.
He's
channeling the righteousness.
There's our drummer drumming right there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we've got pipers piping in the glass and a drummer drumming on everything that's not actually a drum.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
So lots of New Year's resolutions going around. I'm never a big fan of a true New Year's resolution.
I never really do them.
Yeah.
No.
But we did make some Advent Catholic New Year's resolutions.
Yes, because we believe in goal setting. Like, we're not opposed to it.
Just
so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Maybe different or something. Anyway, so we did Advent,
started
the church
New Year. About a month head start on our sort of New Year's resolution, so to speak.
And I think the nice part about them is that they're not just for the season.
Right.
Like, it kind of, when I started, I was just thinking about Advent, but I'm like, oh no, this is for like a whole year. Like, this is like a long term, it's like a marathon level, which I guess what a New Year resolution would be.
Right.
But when it's a spiritual one,
yeah,
it feels a little different.
So how's your New Year's resolution going? Remind us and give us a little update.
I said I was going to do more of the traditional things.
Yeah.
So I was going to start with the rosary praying, which is just something I struggle with and don't stick with. So I kind of like that it's a year-long one for me. I've been starting it more.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unfinished ones in my
what
my month-long track.
The angels finish them for you.
Your guardian angel.
Oh,
so
your
for
guardian
guests, that means nothing happens at all.
Yeah.
And for me, it means that all of mine have been finished.
You're very special. I've donated you. My guardian angel gets to work on your behalf.
Oh, they're both working so hard. No, but I do. I got a new rosary. So maybe that was part of my treating myself, as I picked up one that was actually the best way to get a rosary, where I didn't buy it. It was given as a gift to someplace, and then they were giving them away. So I was like, you know what? Here's a nice little extra one for me.
Very nice.
To help me remember to say my beads, walk around.
Say my beads.
Finger my beads. No, but for real. I like, okay, so I have another friend who is a more avid rosary prayer and walks and does it. And I mm-hmm. do walk a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm adding on to my goal to not just pray it while I fall asleep and make my angel do the work,
yeah.
but actually to pray them whilst walking.
Yep.
Which is very doable. And I like it. It's a nice meditative collaboration, the walking yeah. and the praying.
I did it once for Lent and found that, yeah, I couldn't really make a lot of space in my regular day. Like, I just mm-hmm. lacked the discipline to sit down and do the rosary.
Right.
But yeah, when I was out going for a run or out for a walk or doing something else, and I oftentimes I would just use my fingers. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't actually.
You can count because, to 10 as you know, many times
I don't
as want
to
you
take
want.
The beads with me if I'm out for a run or something like that. So I would just, yep, use the fingers. I'd look like a weirdo because I'd be running with like three fingers up and two fingers down on one hand or something like that.
But at least you weren't the weirdo running with your beads.
Didn't have my beads. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, yeah. How about you? Remind us what was your Advent
so,
New Year's goal.
I was going to go through the secrets of Jesuit bread baking mm-hmm. and kind of Julie and Julia that, and found out that it was a mad dash to get it done yeah. for the Advent recipes, but I did get it done. So
and your family and friends, me included, were very
yes.
thrilled.
And I believe I texted you at like 11:50 on Christmas Eve and was like, last bread just went in the oven, barely made it. So technically it came out
yeah.
on Christmas Day, but went in on Christmas Eve. So yeah, it was fun. It was good. And, you know, learned a lot of new recipes and definitely made me think. What I like about it is there are little reflections and little bits mm-hmm. and pieces that go along with not every single recipe, but when I come to one that has like a reflection with it, it's kind of nice to like pause and do that part of the thing before I actually start thinking about what am I going to have to do to make the bread happen. But it was definitely like a mad dash to get through Advent. And yeah. there were 11 breads, to make for Advent. 11 breads of baking. Mm-hmm. Yes. It didn't seem that intimidating when I started, but I definitely slacked off a little bit for the first couple of weeks. Like I made like one each
yeah.
week or something. And then
you
I was
thought
like,
you had a lot
oh my
more
gosh,
time than
I
you
have
did.
To really. And then, so I finally finish on Christmas Eve and I was like, oh man, that was crazy. And then I'm like, oh God, and Christmas is a whole new liturgical season with
yes.
12 days and 7 breads.
The 12 days of Christmas
yeah.
and now the 7 breads of Christmas.
7 breads. So
okay.
I've done 2 and I still have 5 to go, which means I am going to be double dipping on the last dip. But, you know, I got a little time.
I mean,
so.
You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get there.
All of the breads were really delicious and I am excited for your whole year's.
Yeah.
Fruition.
So far,
your
so good.
Breads of baking.
Enjoying it. I think it will make me appreciate ordinary time, maybe for the first time in my entire life, though, to be able to take my foot
wow.
off of the baking accelerator for
Wait,
a little bit.
Are there not?
There are
many,
ordinary,
but it's not.
But not as many, right? Because
oh,
there's a lot of ordinary
yes.
time, right? But not as many recipes
okay.
as like the liturgical season.
And it makes sense that there'd
are, like,
be more like holiday themed breads as well.
Right.
That would,
exactly.
So like, yeah, expect something fancy on
yeah.
Easter.
Yeah. Oh,
Can't
there's
going to
be some serious
Can't
Easter breads going on.
Wait.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those yeah. are, we're doing okay then.
So far,
One
so good.
In. We're doing all right.
Yeah. We're hanging in there.
Tell us what your New Year's resolutions are, your church New Year's resolutions, dear
yeah.
listener, if
your
you made
spiritual
any.
Spiritual New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, or whatever you want to set. You
yeah.
know, you can just be really cool and measure your year by the start and end of Advent, whether or not your resolutions are spiritual in nature.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so also we wanted to give another little Pope Hope update.
Yeah, there's definitely strange things afoot in Vatican City.
I feel like it's making me have more anticipation for
yes.
this worldwide bishops meeting, and I just don't want to be let down.
Right.
So a little trepidatious there.
Yeah. So
okay,
one thing that hit the headlines in the last few days, which like normally wouldn't really register, I don't think, but because there is this seeming sense of anticipation of something happening and people, some sort of shakeup coming or something. And, you know, maybe mm-hmm. we're looking into too much, but there was the director of communications or something like that. I forget exactly what his title was, but the director of communications that was helping with all of the liaising between the Vatican and the press stepped down from his role, as did
yeah.
the vice
right.
deputy or whatever his title was. And it was of interest actually to me that like this was an American that was in this role. So it wasn't really like
yeah.
someone that I would normally think of as a Vatican insider, but he was very much a Vatican insider. Like he
yeah.
had seen behind the curtain and for several years been working very closely with Pope Francis. And he left in an abrupt manner. And I, in looking through the headlines and reading the stories and stuff, I couldn't really tell if he left and didn't like what was going on and therefore he left, or if he was sort of asked to leave for some reason. The fact that his deputy sort of went with him is a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Nobody is really coming out and saying, this is what went wrong and this is why he's leaving. Everybody's kind of playing nice, but it doesn't sound like it was like on mutually agreeable terms for some reason.
Right. And this is like somebody who came on specifically to like help the Vatican. They had a goal of like becoming more of a global communications person,
right,
like using the modern platforms of social media and all this. So for whatever reason, there's just problems. And it seems like untenable for them to stay, but doesn't say exactly who made it. So.
Or it could just be, it was time to move on, and it's kind of a coincidence that it comes at a time where there's all this other stuff going on. But I think that if it really had just kind of been like, this guy's like served his purpose and he's ready to go do something different and he'll move on, I don't know that it would have like been splashed across the headlines, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably something more to it.
Yeah.
Especially because this is going to be a big year. Once again, this whole February meeting, like you're going to need somebody solid in there with these communications.
It's kind of a strange time for somebody to step away from a critical role in like working with the press when there's going to be this big meeting coming up. So that's a little strange.
To see what happens.
And then something else came down.
There was a special exclusive, to an AP exclusive, Associated Press, Vatican letter undermines U.S. cardinals on abuse. And they kind of distilled down the main reason is that the reason that the Vatican blocked the U.S. bishops' plan was because the U.S. bishops were not going to let Catholic groups who were demanding action directly address the clergy.
Interesting.
So they were saying, you guys are not going to be in charge of how this goes.
So this was a few weeks ago, which we kind of talked about a little bit a few episodes ago, where it was that the U.S. bishops were going to convene and get together and come up with some sort of plan to address the abuse scandal, and the Vatican intervened and said, you're not allowed to do that.
Well, because I think the options that they were going to vote on, neither one of them allowed. Now, this is my understanding, so I could be wrong, but my understanding is that neither one allowed for actual abuse victims to directly either be in charge of how this is future addressed or even in the real time, maybe.
Yeah, which is interesting because it was, when you go back to the, early 2000s sort of phase of this just long drawn out church scandal, that was one of the things that happened. I mean, and it was approached from two different angles. There was an advocacy group that was independent of the church and very critical of the church that was saying kind of, we demand a voice in this. But there was also a movement within the church to say, we do need to sit down with the victims and hear them and listen to them and try and give them a voice in this process. And so for the now reason that the U.S. bishops weren't really able to come up with their own plan and were sort of blocked from that, being that they were not going to let victims be self-advocating enough.
Or in charge of how future things are handled.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I mean, that does give me a little bit of hope because I think we have seen in just the last year or so, some of the bishops and some of those people in charge kind of just wanting to move on already. And like, while I can understand perhaps that feeling, like if you were not directly involved, like that can't be the attitude. And there's people like me and you and others who say Lady needs to be in charge of this going forward.
And that's it, is that, and we've mentioned this several times, that this cannot be the church saying, well, we are going to fix this. We are in charge of fixing this, and therefore we are going to fix it. This is the point where the church needs to say, we need help. Like, we obviously cannot handle this ourselves, and so we need help. And if you're going to ask for help, then some of the people, and it should not be forced upon them by any means, because people who are victims of sexual abuse of any kind, let alone the clergy sexual abuse, have been put through enough, right? So it's not like, okay, well, if you want to fix it, then you have to go do it. But it should certainly be that if you want a voice in this, you have a voice in this.
And there are enough people who do want that representation who I think that could be found to participate.
Yeah. Interesting. So,
that's our
so for Francis to intervene and say, yeah, and who knows where this is all headed? We'll find out before too long.
I mean, February is next month, everyone.
It's coming up.
Next month is February. And oh my gosh.
I think we are looking to it as that glimmer of hope. We're looking to it and saying, if everything has been put into this meeting, right?
Yeah.
And that's the way that the Vatican has positioned it, to say, this is where the rubber's going to hit the road with us starting to clean up this mess, then it should be something that's big. It should be relatively ground shaking for the church.
I have hope. Springing eternal.
Yep.
I try not to put too much on it because right. we've been hurt before.
Yeah.
But let's hope so.
All I
let's
know
see
is
what happens.
If they convene and they go, we've figured it out. Everybody needs to get fingerprinted and do a training.
There's no
I'm going to be like,
training for you.
Damn it.
No. We will be writing some angry letters.
Exactly. So hopefully it'll be something big. Hopefully it'll be something productive.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be the first step in something much larger too, right?
Like, yeah, I mean,
it
and
can't
you know,
be that it's a silver bullet.
We wanted to update about this because we've been talking about it. And I want to say, I think it's an unofficial church drunk Advent New Year resolution to talk more about this tough stuff.
Yeah.
We've actually done pretty well, like keeping abreast.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll continue to do that. That's our new goal. I just made it.
I like it. And now for something completely different.
Or is it?
So we will continue to keep you abreast of very serious church issues. But also we'll continue to keep our sense of levity and drinkiness. And we are coming up on the Feast of the Epiphany. So that's the official end of the Christmas season.
Yes.
The 12 days of Christmas go from the 25th to January 6th.
Right.
Feast of the Magi, Feast of the Epiphany, whatever you call it. It's when
The three wise men
visit baby Jesus. They bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Uh-huh.
And last year on our Epiphany episode, we talked about the gifts that we would bring to little
yes.
baby Jesus.
We were very creative.
And
in
this
our
year,
gifting of the good Lord and Savior.
Yeah, we were. I think so. Go back and revisit it
if you
didn't hear it the first go around. But what we did this year was we each came up with a list of three modern day quote unquote wise men,
mm-hmm.
People that we think would be good ones to go visit the little baby Jesus in the manger.
Yes.
And three gifts to bring. And I feel like, Dizzy, you were probably a little bit better at coming up with your gifts. You thought about them a lot more. I wrote down, like, the three first things that popped into my head.
Well, I tried to think of them, but I also wrote down the first three that seemed like they went with the theme.
Gotcha.
So.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're each going to read off our list of three, and then we're going to actually assign those numbers 1 through 6 and roll some dice to
yes.
see which wise man is going to visit. And then we'll roll the dice again, and we'll see... or the die, I suppose, if there's only one,
right.
To see which of the six gifts
we're
they
into
bring.
The mixy and the matchy.
Yeah, so we're going to combine a wise man slash woman and
yes.
a gift to bring to the baby Jesus. But we're going to do it playing a lovely game that we will explain when we finish introducing our key players here. All right. So tell me, who are your three wise men?
Okay, so my first of the three wise men, I am picking Richard Branson. Because
okay.
he is the founder of a virgin and all the virgin things.
Because of the virgin, right?
So I liked
it's like, hey,
I
Mary,
yes.
you're a virgin, I'm a virgin.
He's like, you may be like the ultimate virgin, but have you seen my virgin empire?
I named all my everything after you.
He's very devout. Very devout. No, but like, I just like him from the little interviews
yeah.
and things I see.
Yeah.
I think he actually is a hopeful person.
I think so.
And
yeah.
invests in like good things. Like he's
yeah.
an example of a really rich guy who's not.
Plus he's a knight.
A toddler.
Sir, if you're going to have somebody
oh
show
gosh.
Up to visit the
Sir
baby Jesus.
Richard
Branson.
Emperor of the Virgins.
Questing after the Holy Grail.
Okay.
All right.
So he's a pretty good wise
okay.
guy. What's All
right.
your first one?
My first one was Michelle Obama.
Because bring in the class.
I think Act. She is kind of stepping into, you know, like you see it happen a lot, I think, with presidents. And Michelle Obama is maybe the only first lady that comes to mind. That, you know, but I'm not exactly a student of first ladies, but like
yeah.
a lot of times the role of president and now first lady actually gets amplified when they leave
totally.
The office and they kind of can leave the pressures of all that behind.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in this case, or the presidents, they get to just kind of be themselves a little bit more. And sometimes they're even better in that
yeah.
role than than they were in office. And I think that Michelle Obama, while she was a fantastic first lady, we're starting to see a bit more of her...
Her becoming?
Just kind of... Just... I was not going to say that. But she's just kind of turning it loose, and she's saying, this is me. These are the things that I care about. This is who I'm going to be
as an ex-first
lady. Yeah. Yes. So I think that she would certainly be considered a wise person for our generation.
I feel like Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and all the animals would just be thrilled Michelle Obama were to visit manger.
I'd be
pretty stoked, especially if Sir Richard Branson's there and
Michelle Obama rolls up. Party
going
That's
on an now. Actual party.
We got a party. Oh, all right, jealous. Number two. Who's your number two?
All right, my number two, I picked Justin Trudeau of Canada.
Okay.
I just think he's a wonderful example of charming, smart.
All I can think about.
A current world leader.
Is a South Park Canadian showing up at the main room like, hey, man.
Well, that could be the Justin Trudeau.
I found it.
And nobody died. So I think Justin Trudeau would be good as a world representative, as a king. I'm thinking of the kingly sort here.
Okay.
You know,
so you're going with the priest, prophet, and king kind of stuff.
Yeah. I gotcha. Okay. Well, I hadn't thought that far, but I felt like he was like a royal visitor for the royal baby.
Okay. Like one of the three kings.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I have someone who's both a political and religious leader because I went with the Dalai Lama.
Wow.
Because I do think... that a wise man from the East should go visit baby Jesus.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't. Do we even need to explain why
he's so full
Lama
of joy? He'd be so happy to visit any baby.
Happy. Yeah, super happy.
Okay, so Richard Branson, Michelle Obama, Justin Trudeau, and the Dalai Lama
walk into a bar. Ready, go.
Okay.
All right, number three.
For me, this might take the party down a notch, although who knows?
Okay.
Maybe she's a good time, but... in honor of our charism of righteousness, I just wanted the little baby Jesus to know that we are still speaking out. And I am inviting Dr. Christine Blasey to be one of the wise women who are visiting baby Jesus. So not the three kings size, more the wise women size.
Yeah.
And channeling our righteousness and speaking out for what you believe. Because I think baby Jesus would need, kind of like the fairy godmothers who come and like give you the gifts you would need growing up. Like Jesus needs a little of the, you can be that little light and speak up.
And speak your voice.
And you still might get crucified.
Be heard. I know. Be heard even if you know it's going to...
But hey, that's... You know, I feel like that'd be a nice scene.
Okay. Well, I went a completely different direction with my number three. I went with Alton Brown.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, who is wise? And I thought... First, I thought about a couple folks. Like, I was thinking about the executive chef at Bluestone Farms in New York, which is, like, this super, like, progressive. But I'm like, what a nerdy thing. And also, it's not going to be that funny for our game.
Yes.
So Alton Brown, perhaps a bit better known. Also, really wise in his own area of expertise.
What doesn't he know
about
food?
And it's like, and food is important. Like, food is, you know, and he knows all of the science behind it. And he's been willing to share that with the world in his way.
And
so,
you know from just having a little baby guest that people who show up with food for the new family are pretty great.
Right.
So Alton Brown would probably bring something pretty awesome for Mary and Joseph to like stick in the camel bag and take home with them.
For sure. Yeah. So there's our six wise men.
Okay.
Now we need six gifts.
Well, I'll go first thinking along those same lines of Mary and Joseph probably need some shit for this little baby Jesus.
Okay.
And I'm giving baby Jesus a lifetime Costco membership. Because I want him always to be stocked in booziness and foods of medium to high quality.
Okay. That will go nicely with my first gift of an Instapot. because, frankly, somebody would have to bring it, right? Like, they're going to get one from somebody.
It's Prime Day just a week.
And so, everybody, it's like the gift to give right now. Mm-hmm. So somebody would bring an Instapot to baby Jesus. I don't know who, but it's on the list.
All right, so we've got him covered for eating and drinking and cooking.
Exactly.
Especially with Alton Brown. So, like, Alton Brown, like, schooling them on this is
like he could work
great.
Magic with an Instapot.
You were very thoughtful.
Yeah.
My second gift for baby Jesus would be his EU passport.
Ooh.
I want him to be able to travel freely.
Yeah.
And not be a little refugee baby as he was in the Gospel of Matthew.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. I was just thinking about what I would want. A 2019 Advent beer calendar. 2018 Advent beer calendar was so great for me.
He's barely finished one.
I'm like, you bring that. And you're like, here, you're going to need this. Let's prepare. Really, it's for Joseph.
I was going to say, baby Jesus has to wait a while.
And Mary could, Although Mary was what, like 13, 14?
Mary and baby just have to wait a while before they can enjoy that.
It's for Joseph.
But if she just had a baby, I mean, doesn't she get a glass of beer?
Yeah, I think so.
I think she does.
I think so.
We'll waive that.
Yeah.
All right. And my last one, because I do want baby Jesus to use all the world, not just the EU. I want him to come to America and see the national parks before they overrun by the hordes of horrible people. So I'm giving him a national parks pass.
Very nice. You went with such more symbolic things, I really like it.
When I think about the new baby, it's like all that you wish for him. And then it's like all that you wish for the world.
Right.
And it is kind of a depressing list if you think about why I picked these as his gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah.
What'd you get him?
Star of David hologram glasses.
So, shout out.
If you have not seen these, I just wore them for the first time, good listener.
So amazing.
They look like 3D glasses, except you put them on.
Little square ones, cardboard.
Yeah, like little cardboard kind of 3D glasses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You put them on and you look at any like distinct point of light. So like a light bulb that's shining or something like that. LED lights work perfectly for it. And it creates around said light the Star of David. It uses, like, I don't know, some sort of prismatic polarizing effect. And there's shimmering Stars of David around every little point of light
impressive.
That you look at. And it's absolutely magical. And I was thinking, like, what do you give to a tiny little Jew? And that is the perfect gift, in my opinion.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like if we were both to show up with our gifts, like you are like the super fun uncle who everybody is so glad you came because you brought beer and a fucking Instant Pot and Jew glasses. And I am like, they're really thoughtful. I planned this out for you. And
this
they're
is
like,
for
what
your college
we're
fund.
Not going anywhere. What are you talking about? So well done. Well done, you fun uncle guest.
All right.
You're pretty great.
So what we're going to do to be able to combine
but now we're
going to
mix these up.
Yeah, we're going to mix these up here. And we are going to roll a die that will tell us which of our six wise men show up. And I already numbered mine 1 through 3 because I'm selfish like that. So you'll be 4, 5, 6 over there. And then whatever it comes up with for the first roll will be who brings it. And whatever comes up with the second roll will be what they bring.
Yeah.
But I have to explain this to you now, dear listener. Dizzy received as a Christmas present.
Fucking haggard.
Our favorite new game, which it looks like a toilet. And when you flush it, which I will do now, and we'll see if it actually sound effects its way through. A die falls out of the toilet itself. And then it tells you, so we just rolled a 2, and we will explain what that represents. But then you have to plunge, there's a plunger in the toilet, and you have to plunge the toilet twice because you've rolled a 2. And then you, on a certain number of plunges, unbeknownst, I think it's completely random,
that's the fun.
For lack of a better term, a plastic turd shoots out of the back of the toilet.
Higher than you think possible.
Yeah, it shoots pretty good. Big old turd shooting out of the toilet, and then you have to catch it. Whoever catches it wins the round. So we're going to play, I think, best of 5. First person to 3 catches, and we'll keep rolling. And Dizzy's rolls will tell us who's bringing the gift. My rolls will tell us what they are bringing. And every now and then, a turd will fly at us, and we'll have to catch it. So you'll hear the whole thing.
But they all have to be 1, 2, 3.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
How did that? It's a 6-sided die that just says 3.
Because I don't think it plunges twice. That many times.
Oh, man. All right. Fair enough.
You have a little guy in this
Well, room. We'll multiply it by 2 every other round.
Oh
there we go.
Gosh.
All right. So.
I'm not getting out of playing this poop game. I can see that now.
No. All right. Diz.
All right. Here we go.
Flush that toilet.
Roll.
Yeah. It's a 3.
3.
All right. That gives us Alton Brown.
And
oh, no, that's mine, though. You have to plunge 3 times. You have to plunge. So Alton Brown is bringing something.
1, 2, 3.
Why'd you do 5?
I don't know. I wanted to go.
And 3. So he's bringing.
Just do 1 more.
Alton Brown is bringing the Star of David hologram glasses to baby Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Oh, Dizzy. You're up. Tell us.
This one
we'll multiply
by 2.
Yeah.
All right. 2.
2 times 2 is?
1 plunge. Oh!
Ah!
Not touching the poop.
I got it. That's 1 for me. I didn't actually catch it. I don't think it counts, but we'll be here forever if we do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually.
So this is Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. Okay.
Two.
We have to reload our turd.
You have to
there we go.
Fucking load your turd.
Yeah,
you shove it down.
All right. And... Richard Branson bringing one times two is the 2019 Advent beer calendar, which I feel like is appropriate. Richard Branson,
like, for sure would bring that.
Showing up with the beer calendar. He says, this is religious. Here you go. That's one plunge.
Or two, because you plunges. Multiplied it by two.
There we go. All right.
Cool.
You're up.
This is super fun.
It's okay. The funnest game ever.
Rolling my flush dice.
Three.
Is times two again?
Times two.
So number six is Dr. Christine Blasey.
Dr. Christine Blasey.
And she is bringing...
Wait, no, you got to plunge it.
How many times?
Three. One, two, three. Okay. and number three again. So what's number six on the list?
The National Parks Pass.
Oh.
She's bringing National Parks. She probably very would
thoughtful.
Bring that.
Very thoughtful.
She's like the worst part of me.
Good that job. One I actually caught
Guess
on the fly.
Caught shit.
Yeah. That's two for me and none for Diz.
Yep,
I feel
no
like
points.
I'm going to win this game
I'm
because
winning.
She refuses to touch the poop.
Okay, I'll try next time. Do you want to roll it?
No,
is
you're
it
up.
My turn?
You're okay. Up. This one.
It's just three.
Number three again, Alton Brown.
He is
a lot of threes.
Yeah.
A lot of threes.
Well,
popular.
I mean, it shows up quite a bit on that deck.
Okay. Plunge it. One, two, three. Okay.
We were ready. We were so ready.
Yeah. And three again. So, still bringing the Star of David hologram glasses. He loves those.
He really likes them. I mean, the baby already got the advent
let's
calendar
do it
and
let's do it different. Let's see, okay. What, let's see what else Alton Brown brings to the party. Looks like it's a two. He's bringing two times two. What
oh,
is it?
It's a Costco membership.
Oh, Costco
which
membership.
He definitely
oh,
would
yeah.
bring.
That's a good call.
Actually,
right.
You could buy the advent calendar at Costco.
Oh, man.
Dang.
Okay. It's got to be primed and ready to fling that turd in a minute
gosh.
Now.
The anticipation. Advent levels of anticipation here.
It's a number one.
Is that times two or regular?
I don't know. Are we times two in that?
Just do regular.
Regular? Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Okay.
What is our premier first lady bringing?
Number one. An Instapot. Michelle Obama's bringing an Instapot.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Plunge it.
There we go.
Oh my gosh, this thing is locked and loaded.
Oh man. Okay. All right. So let's see here. Three. Times three.
Is well times two is Christine
two,
Blasey.
Yeah. Christine Blasey once again bringing.
Times.
One times two. One times two is Advent beer calendar.
Advent beer calendar. There's a lot of beer.
Yeah. All right. Let's do one more. Let's see what else we bring to the party. Number two times two is.
Costco membership.
Costco membership. And I snagged it.
I
you were
tried.
Ready. You were ready. I should have just let you do it.
No,
you were
I don't
ready
want to. It's fine. To I really still feel like I'm ahead.
So I win the game, but Dizzy wins at life.
Woo!
Because she never
touch
caught
the,
turd. Well,
we will maybe post a link of this horrid game because I know a lot
so
of people
fun.
Got it for Christmas.
It's
like,
really fun.
You know, Haggard of the Haggard Elves gave it to me, and I saw that my cousins got it as well.
Nice.
Like, I know it's going around.
It's a fun one. Yeah.
Is it?
It is.
It's like hot potato with a plunger and a poop. That's how I sum it up. Happy New Year! Still Christmas season! Woo!
Tell us what you would bring to Baby Jesus or who you think would be one of the wise guys by tweeting us at ChurchDrunkPod.
Emailing us at ChurchDrunk@gmail.com.
Check out the website, ChurchDrunk.com. And I promise I'll put a blog episode in, a blog entry in there at some point.
Yeah, well, I'll post a link of the poop game so you can all know why I'm not grabbing.
Yeah.
This poop.
And we'll see you next time here on Church Drunk, where it's a lot like hot potato, except with a turd and a plunger.
Yay!